Good morning. God is good. And all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ as we gather to worship. I guess we're back in the summer today. It's a little hot. We're going to be hot today. So I'm glad you're able to be here with us this morning, those who are here in the pews and those who are watching online as well. The guest register was going around, and if you've signed that, especially if you're a guest, that we can thank you for your presence with us this morning. Not a whole lot of announcements, as you can see that things are going on, but we do have some flowers. So the flowers over here by the pulpit are in honor and celebration of Jan and Darlene Knepshield's 62nd wedding anniversary today. Congratulations to them. And there's a boatload of names down there from the family who are wishing those wishes to them. We have flowers over here by the baptismal font in honor and celebration of Michael Lyden's birthday. That was on August 22nd. Happy birthday, Michael, from Karen. And Karen's sitting there. Wait, you going to take those to him when you're done? Okay. So congratulations to him as well. Are there any other announcements for the good of the community this morning? We're sort of in that hiatus before we kick into gear, you know, moving into September and October. Any other things? If not, let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows God's Spirit to move among us as we prepare to worship God this morning.
Those who are able, please stand and join me with a call to worship. Why have you come here? We've come for the hope and wholeness we find in God. But why have you come here?
We have come because we are pilgrims,
and Christ is found on the journey. But why indeed have you come here?
We've
come because this place and these people offer the Spirit's sanctuary. Let us, all of us, come and gather together here to worship God today. And now please join me in the prayer of adoration and confession. We praise you, God, that your glory and goodness surpass our imaginings. Nothing we construct can tame or contain you. Your ways are beyond our understanding. You cannot be confined by the limits of our beliefs or the narrowness of our vision. In the vastness of your mercy, you hear our prayers and the prayers of all who trustingly call your name. Forgive us, O God, when your words and ways seem difficult. Soften us when we harden our views about you and about others into rigid opinions from which we will not back down. Refresh us when we part ourselves and others dry with formulas instead of relationships, with offense taken instead of understanding granted. Remind us through your Spirit that even when we stumble into these impasses, you are there to renew our spirits, to enlighten our minds, to cast away that which holds us and others back, and to take that which leads to life in Jesus Christ. We choose to follow Christ, not because we must, but because we may. Amen.
Hear the good news. God's saving power comes to us, and by God's grace, we are forgiven. The Holy One offers eternal life to all who believe. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven now and forever. Amen.
The first scripture reading this morning comes from the history books of the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 20 through 30 and 41 through 43. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, assembly of Israel, and spread out his hands to heaven. He said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and steadfast love with your servants who walk before you with all their heart. The covenant that you kept for your servant my father David, as you declared to him, you promised with your mouth and have this day fulfilled with your hand. Therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep for your servant my father David that which you promised him, saying, there shall never fail you a successor before me to sit on the throne of Israel. If only your children look to their way to walk before me as you have walked before me. Therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed that you promised to your servant my father David. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. Regard your servant's prayer and his plea, O Lord my God, heeding the cry and the prayer that your servant prays to you today, that your eyes may be open night and day toward this house, the place of which you said, my name shall be there, that you may heed the prayer that your servant prays toward this place. Hear the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Oh, hear in heaven your dwelling place, hear and forgive. Likewise, when foreigners who are not of your people Israel come from a distant land because of your name, for they shall hear of your great name, your mighty hand, and your outstretched arm. When foreigners come and pray toward this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do whatever the foreigners ask of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, so they may know that your name has been invoked on this house that I have built. The second reading today is from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Very famous and familiar passage. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having prevailed against everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and belt your waist with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, and lace up your sandals in preparation for the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. May the blessing of God be on the hearing and understanding of these words from the scriptures. Here
And I'm supposed to follow that. Thanks, Dobin and Michael. Greatly appreciate it. The music that moves our soul. Whoops, my knee didn't like that. Our gospel lesson is from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, looking at the wrong spot. 56 to 69. If you notice the first little paragraph that I'm going to read that's printed there for you is the last paragraph of last week's text, since we're following those in order. And so it starts off with what we ended and then continues a little bit more talking about these words of eternal life. So here are these words from the Gospel of John. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. And just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. And this is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which the ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. And he said these things while he was teaching in a synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept that?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you, there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who were the ones who did not believe and who was the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, meditation of our hearts, be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There was a book that came out in the early 2000s that I read. It dealt with religious life in the Pacific Northwest, and the subtitle for it was entitled The Nun Zone, N-O-N-E. And on the back cover, there was a line that tried to explain that. It said that when asked their religious identification, more people answer none in the Pacific Northwest than any other region in the U.S. And one of the points the author was making from the data collected is that the choice looms large for those who checked something other than none. For them, church affiliation was not a given. Not an expectation of tradition. One has to choose where they want to go. That's not unique to the Pacific Northwest. We know that, living here in the greater Cincinnati area. I chose to have Chuck read from 1 Kings. The alternate reading was also from Joshua. And both of those are dealing with the people of Israel and how they moved and how they need to be reminded of God's presence with them in a time of journeying. And in the Joshua text, they're just getting ready to go into this promised land. And you would think that after this 40-year sojourn that they've wandered in the wilderness, the battle through Canaan, that they would have a sigh of relief. And then Joshua says, no, you have to choose. You have to choose. Do you want the God of the Amorites? Or the gods from Father Abraham and Father Sarah when they first set out? Do you want to go back to the gods in Egypt where you were, who nearly sucked the life out of you? Or do you want to choose the God that brought you into this land? Joshua understood that none zones are few and far between. You know, you sort of have to choose where you want to go. I believe that more than a few opt for none based on how relevant God or the gathered community is to them. Because I think that's where decision is made. Decision is made on how important the presence of God is in our lives, whether it's corporate worship or whether it's individual. And having grown up in the church and being a preacher's kid, having pastored for 40 years, sometimes I think we in the church give justification to why people don't really sometimes want to come into the church. You know, there are people who sometimes come for spiritual guidance or holy encounter, and they go down to coffee hour, and I've said this before to you before, or people who come into my office on Monday morning and want to know, why did Michael play the hymn too loud? Or I didn't know that hymn. Why didn't you pick that hymn, Pastor? Little stuff, you know, about how we run life in the church. Or who gets to use the fellowship hall? Do you have to be a member or not a member? Just from the outsider, that's squabbling. There are sometimes people who come in who want to do ministry or mission, and they want to serve God. And they find that people don't want to do anything. The people want to come and be here on Sunday morning, and then they don't want to do anything else. You know, and I'm not this is not a judgment on anybody. It's just that this is what I've seen in my 70 plus years of living, is that sometimes people just don't want to do that. And they said, well, how are we going to do mission and mission, ministry and mission, if we're not going to get up and do it? And some come and all they hear, they want to belong, and all there are these debates about who belongs and who doesn't belong and why are we here. Those are all things we do. And sometimes what happens when we're here so long in one place, we don't realize we're doing that crap. I'm sorry for the French. But we do not realize that, because we think it's very important and we forget about why we're here. Having said all that, then none becomes an understandable choice of why that choice is there. Except when a child needs to be married, or until an elder needs to be buried. Weddings are not typically performed by none. When the church I served last for 20 years was a block away from the old Mercy Western Hills Hospital, and I knew one of the ladies in the an emergency room area, one of the nurses, and she wanted to know if I could do her wedding, and I did it down at Fernbank Park on the Ohio River. And the reason I did it, because she and her fiance went to a big box church, and the big box church minister didn't do weddings. Why not? Funerals are rarely officiated by nobody affiliated. I've made a career in burying people who don't have a faith community, because they don't feel connected to something. So in times of passage and crisis is when we return. And this text today, when Peter's response to Jesus from this question, he says, well, to whom can we go? Where do we go? Peter says. And so we look around. If you look in the space we're sitting in now, there's peculiar architecture, the seating, the altar, the windows, the pulpit. Those are things you don't have in your living room. You know, they're not in any kind of club you would go to. They're not in the gym. You know, so this is a particular place. And sometimes we call this the sanctuary, and it is because it's where we gather to worship. But sometimes it's sanctuary where it means a place of safety. For some of you who have been here a long time, there are memories here. There's a reason why you're here. There's a particular reason why you sit where you sit. It's because of the way that brings back that peace, settled in, grounded to why you're in church. We all have gone through that. You know, as a pastor, 20 years I'm in one parish. And so being a pastor's kid, my dad never served more than 10 years in one church. So I've moved. So you have to find your settledness wherever you are. And so I understand that movement and looking. But all the churches I've served are people like those of you who are sitting in this space right now that can tell me from the time, you can tell me you were baptized here, you were confirmed here, you were married here, and you still come here. And that's okay. But that means you have meaning here. But then those of us who journey find another way to find meaning. For me, it's community. And so we're always looking for something. But sometimes when you're in that journey, sometimes that none box becomes a choice. So Lord, to whom can we go? Peter says. You have the words of eternal life, is what he says to him. Peter's response arises out of conflict. He's being challenged. The troops were deserting. You go back and look at it. It said the disciples left. It meant those who were gathered, not the 12, but the disciples left. And then Jesus talks to the 12. So to whom can we go is not a question with only one possible answer then or now. To whom can we go is not a question in which we, the church, have a monopoly on. We live in a culture, and we talk about that all the time here. There's so many things to do outside these walls right now at this particular time of the day. Movements to follow. Other places to go to church or not to go to church. It depends on what you want to do. But there are other choices out there. to whom can we go? The most important question, I think, is to whom will we go? Following and discipleship for me are acts of will. You and I have to make a choice. So when Peter spoke the words, he's responding to Jesus, "Do you wish also to go away?" Jesus says. In the Greek, wish, the word that we translate as wish, is a weak translation of a verb that means to will. So the world is full of options for religious meaning, affiliation, and we choose. Somewhere along the line, we choose. We decide what we want to do. So when I think about the religion in the nun zone, it just reminds me that a lot of us live in places where there are a lot of choices. And sometimes people go because that's where their friends go, or that's where the political agenda is, or whatever else. And I always think about whenever I go to a church and I try to find the original constitution or something as far back as I could find. And this congregation was founded to worship God. We forget about that. We forget why we're here. We're here to worship, to thank God for the week that has been and prepare ourselves the week that is to come, and to thank God for being in our presence in our lives. So to whom will we go? Peter opts for Jesus, where he finds words of eternal life. But what we need to remind ourselves again and again and again and again, this isn't a one-for-all shot. We have to make that choice every day as we move through life of how we're going to be grounded in God through Jesus Christ. How do we do that? So Peter chooses to say to Jesus, "You have the words of eternal life." And that's what he said in the moment. And we read this text and we say, "Well, that's all well and good. And you made this choice and on we go." Let me jump forward to Holy Week, end of the week. Jesus has been arrested. He's being questioned, and Peter's in the courtyard. You all know the story. Someone says, "I know you. You're one of Jesus' followers." Three times, he denies. In that moment, I think Peter understood there were other options. Maybe safer ones. Easier ones that he could have made. But why do we follow? What are the reasons to follow? So following Jesus is a choice of the will. And we make it again and again and again. The good news and the grace of all of it, though, is that even when our choices and wills betray us, and we all take a little bit of journey, and I shared some of that with you. I lived in a glass house as a preacher's kid. When I got out those 4 or 5 years I was in college, all H-E double toothpicks broke out. You live in a glass house your whole life, you want to find out what it's like not to live in a glass house. But the journey brought me back on my terms with God. So what happens is God's grace is there. So sometimes we walk away, and it's our choice to do that, but it's also our choice to come back. And grace doesn't excuse our failings, but it does, it receives us back with open arms when we say, "To whom can we go?" And we choose and make the choice to follow Jesus. And not because it's the traditional thing to do. That may or may not be true. But we shouldn't do it because it's the acceptable thing to do, and that may or may not be true. And not because we want to be part of a particular community that we think is growing and vibrant, because that may or may not be true. But we should make the choice because we find in Jesus these words of life. And wherever we find to live them out is okay. you choose here, that's okay. If you choose a Roman Catholic church to worship because you feel more comfortable there, that's okay. You go to a Disciples of Christ, a United Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of God, Nazarene, doesn't make any difference to me. If you feel comfortable and you know Jesus is there, that's where you go. It's about being faithful. To whom do you go? That's a difficult choice, you know. Because of my knee situation, I have to think about what I do in the morning. When my dad was pastoring and I lived next door to the church, Sunday morning was a non-thought process. You got kicked out of bed, you took a shower, you got dressed, you better wear a tie. And you walk next door to church and you better know how to behave because you're the preacher's kid. That's not a choice. That's my parents' choice. So for you and I, we're adults. We make choices. How do you choose to whom will you go? Choose wisely. Grace is there to hold us up. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today is one from a New Zealand prayer book. I'm going to ask those who are able to please stand as we affirm our faith together and stay standing for our hymn. So as we stand, let us affirm our faith together, saying, "You, O God, are supreme and holy. You create our world and give us life. Your purpose overarches everything we do. You have always been with us. You are God. You, O God, are infinitely generous, good beyond all measure. You came to us before we came to you. You have revealed and proved your love for us in Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose again. You are with us now. You are God. You, O God, are Holy Spirit. You empower us to be your gospel in the world. You reconcile and heal. You overcome death. You are our God. We worship you. Amen."
Thank you.
You may be seated. As we come to God in prayer this day, are there any joys or concerns to be brought forth to this community of faith?
In the bulletin, there are the prayers for the homebound person with an address that we for the week. Please take note of that. As we've noted, John and Kelly and I noticed, the addresses change quickly when people move in and out of facilities or from homes to facilities or even to another room. So please take note, that's the current address in the bulletin. There's also birthdays and anniversaries listed there as well. Are there any joys or concerns to be brought forth to this community of faith? I do have some that people have already talked with me about. Any others?
If not, continue prayers for Donnie Carr. He's still undergoing some tests, trying to figure out what's going on with his circulatory system. And as soon as we know, we'll share that with you. Last week, we prayed for Jamie Harold. Still ongoing some tests. That's Wendy's sister. Trisha Gland, we raised her last week. Her surgery is this Thursday. It's a kidney surgery. It's cancer around her kidney, and they're going to try to remove as much cancer without removing the kidney. And so that's happening on this Thursday. Chuck and I were talking before worship, and he's having a procedure, a laser procedure on his right eye for his glaucoma. And as he says, as we always know, sometimes we don't think about it. This is really common today, but you never know. So continue to remember Chuck as well. The Stams have also handed me a note for Hayden. As in Lansing, Michigan, he had a kidney stone, first time alone in an ER. That has passed, right? That has passed, all right. This was yesterday, we were talking yesterday. But he's now at home in his apartment, resting well. There are those things in the world in which we always need to be aware of, the things that are going on throughout the world. I mean, we're right in the middle. I'm not looking forward to the next couple of months. I do never like it when there's a presidential election. I'm tired of ads. But I think we need to choose, and you have to just decide and be wise. But also in the world, there are things that are going on that we might not even be able to fathom. I've been talking to some young men and women in this past week who have served our country and been in some bad places. And we don't really know what they do for us allows us to be here. So it's very important we remember our service personnel. But we also need to be praying for leaders in our community, in our world, for ourselves, for anybody in our family that we don't raise aloud, God knows. So let us open our minds and our hearts and allow those things to be raised to God this day. So as we center, as we always do, let us take a deep breath and then let it out. Breathe in, God. Breathe out. Breathe in, God. Breathe out. Breathe in. Well, God, we thank you for this marvelous gift of life that you have given to each one of us gathered here. And we're thankful that we do not have a God who has just created us and left us alone. And you created us, and then you came and you lived among us in the personage of Jesus the Christ to show us how it is to be in relationship to you. So when we come to you in prayer, it is comforting for us to know that you have experienced it all. You've experienced what we have experienced and what we continue to experience in this world. You know what it is to be in pain. You know what it is to be discouraged. You know what it is to cry. You know what it is to grieve and to mourn. You know what it is to celebrate and be joyous about what's going on in our lives. And for me, it's wonderful to know that whatever we are feeling, you also feel or felt through your son, Jesus. We're especially thankful that you don't just offer empathy, but you have the power and the ability and the desire to be in our lives. Allow us to continue to be aware of your presence among us Because in that covenant promise, you promised that you will always be our God. And so this day, O God, we have raised a variety of joys and concerns. Our country, our community, our people, people that we know and love, service personnel. We think about our sister churches and even those things that lay upon our hearts and are not spoken aloud. May each of those situations and individuals know your presence. For they too need to hear what we heard today about the bread of life and the words of life, the words of eternal life that will allow them to know. Continue to be with us as we make our choices this week, as we evaluate our responsibilities to you and how we say that we are Christian. But most of all, we thank you for the gift, the presence of your Son Jesus, who has taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Has given a gift to God in order to receive a gift in return? Who has complained when the faithful are no better off than others? Have we forgotten that the riches of God are far deeper than surface appearances? Have we lost the joy of giving for the sheer exhilaration of celebrating the wonders of life? The ushers may come forward and take your offerings. Shining as the sun.
Please join me in our prayer of dedication. Receive, O God, these gifts we choose to render to you through this congregation. May this congregation choose wisely where and how to expend these gifts in your service, and remind us always how you have chosen to entrust us as stewards with creation's gift, love's grace, and discipleship's call. May our wills tend faithfully to what you have already bestowed and to what may still come. In Jesus Christ, amen. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. It is an old, old story. It's probably a story that all of us can tell. But you need to share that with other people so that they too can come to know the faith on which we are grounded. It doesn't just happen. It has to be shared. And I was thinking about, I was here yesterday for the Chosen discussion. We watched a video. And part of how that happened, first century, they didn't have TV, internet, texting, email. They shared the story. That's how we still have to do it. How many friends do you have on Facebook? Does it really matter? The friends are the ones I can see and shake their hand and eat supper with. Those are my friends. Share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who need to hear it, that they too may come to find why you are here. Until we meet again, let us go in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us go in peace. Amen.